They're calling it the Weinstein Sexual Enterprise. That's the name a new lawsuit is giving to a group of powerful companies and executives who are now accused of facilitating years of sexual misconduct by movie mogul Harvey Weinstein. The defendants in the racketeering lawsuit include the board members of Weinstein's company and Miramax, the studio Weinstein once ran. With us to talk about the new lawsuit is Deborah Katz. She's a discrimination and sexual harassment litigator at the law firm of Katz, Marshall & Banks. And Nancy Gertner. She is a retired federal judge who now teaches at Harvard Law School. Welcome to you both. Before we delve into this new lawsuit, I'd like to briefly get your thoughts on some other big news today involving sexual misconduct. About an hour ago, Democratic Senator Al Franken said he is stepping down in the face of a slew of new allegations against him and calls from fellow Democratic senators. Debbie, let's start with you. What's your reaction to this news?
Well, it was inevitable. Senator Franken faced tremendous pressure from members of the Democratic Party to be true to their word of zero tolerance for sexual harassment, which really should be the case when you're dealing with people with tremendous power who are members of the U.S. legislature. And there's a serious betrayal of public trust when these allegations get made. But I think that the key line there is one that is a political line, which is differentiating the Democratic Party with the Republican Party. And his comment that in resigning, that he's aware of the irony in the fact that he's leaving while President Trump openly bragged about sexually assaulting women on the Access Hollywood tape, and he sits in the Oval Office, and Roy Moore is likely to with the full backing of the Republican Party, is likely to be the next senator from Alabama. It makes a very clear distinction between how Democrats have responded to these allegations versus how the Republican Party has responded,
and that's
notable.
Judge, how about you? What's your reaction?
Well, I think that there had been an effort over a period of time to try to distinguish between the sexual misconduct at one end of the spectrum, the kinds of things that Weinstein and Moore were accused of doing, with the sexual misconduct at the other end of the spectrum, which is groping and kissing women who didn't want to be kissed. The problem was that ultimately that is a distinction that doesn't work, particularly given the accusations against the president, which were in part groping and inappropriate touching, and so to some degree they couldn't make distinctions on that continuum at all and still take the positions they wanted to take. I think that I agree that to some degree this is a function of positions that they're going to want to take with respect to a prospective senator, and they are want to put pressure on the president, who of course isn't going to do anything about it. But it was a distinction that they couldn't make a distinction along this continuum if they want to take action against the president and against Moore.
Debbie, do the allegations made against Franken reach a level where he could face a civil lawsuit?
Well, we've been talking a lot in the last few weeks about the process by which someone would have to assert a claim against members of Congress. That would be through the Office of Compliance under the Congressional Accountability Act. And it is a very skewed and one-sided law that benefits members over the rights of victims of harassment, which is why there have been many calls to overhaul this law. If someone had a claim against Franken, we don't know about it. We haven't heard of anybody who said within the last 180 days, which is when you'd have to file such a claim, Senator Franken did anything that would constitute sexual harassment. So I don't see people coming forward and bringing lawsuits based on the allegations of squeezing someone's buttocks during a picture taken 8 years ago. I don't see that there's going to be a slew of cases, and certainly we haven't heard of anybody who worked for him coming forward saying that he engaged in sexual harassment in the workplace.
Judge Gertner, get us started on the Weinstein lawsuit. We only have about a minute now, but we'll pick up on it later. Obviously, the allegations against him, as you said, much more severe. But how is it in this lawsuit that they can be accusing the company board members and Miramax of wrongdoing as well?
Well, you can accuse anybody of anything. There's no question that RICO is they're trying to make this a RICO enterprise, characterizing the entire company as a RICO enterprise, as a racketeering enterprise. Racketeering is typically reserved for mail fraud and different kinds of crimes than different kinds of misconduct than is alleged here. I think it is a stretch. Under the circumstances, it may be that it will be a stretch that the courts will be amenable to, but it certainly is a stretch. It's not, civil RICO doesn't often succeed. So this is an effort to loop the company in under a theory which is a novel theory, there's no question about it, as applied to these facts.
We're talking about this new, or rather far-reaching, class action lawsuit against Harvey Weinstein and a host of others over the sexual misconduct allegations against the former movie mogul. Our guests are Deborah Katz of the law firm Katz, Marshall & Banks, and retired federal judge Nancy Gertner, who now teaches at Harvard Law School. Debbie, a moment ago, Judge Gertner was talking about, used the word stretch to describe the use of this federal racketeering law in this lawsuit. This is a law that was originally set up to go after the mafia. Do you agree that this law is being stretched a little too far in this case?
Well, I don't want to say too far, but I absolutely agree with Judge Gertner's analysis here. After civil RICO was passed, it's a very powerful tool because the damages are so significant and the statute of limitations is 4 years. It's much longer than what you would see in a typical sexual harassment case. So this is very creative lawyering, but I agree that while Harvey Weinstein appears to be an absolute monster and a master manipulator who methodically abused women, used lawyers, and a whole barn of highly paid lawyers and others, and use their prestige to really manipulate and abuse women, I don't believe that's a RICO case. The reason that the case is pled and they're now referring to the Weinstein Company as a criminal enterprise is they would have to show that there was a criminal enterprise to be able to make out this case. And while everybody associated with this entity, or most people, really engaged in egregious behavior and enabled what appears to be sexual assault and a full range of really egregious misbehavior, I don't see this as a RICO case.
Judge Gertner, the law firm urged other women to join in the class action and even posted a form online. Will the women in this lawsuit have enough in common to demonstrate to a court that there should be a class action?
Well, not likely, because there will be individual stories that are likely, the court is likely to focus on. But the broader point here, which is very interesting, is that we've seen now egregious misconduct being, splayed across the headlines. And in oftentimes the existing laws actually are not adequate to address these claims, which is why the women have taken, not wrongly, to the airwaves. I mean, we were just talking about the inadequacy of congressional procedures to deal with sexual harassment. To some degree, women who are not employed in a company, who are either aspiring actresses, which was what the Weinstein accusations were, really had no recourse, no meaningful recourse under the existing laws, except state tort claims or something like that. So what we're seeing now is the inadequacies of the existing framework to deal with these very serious accusations. And that's what we should be addressing.
Debbie, how about the statute of limitations issue? You mentioned that before. Is that another kind of obstacle? Because some of these claims obviously go back quite a long time and potentially beyond the statute of limitations.
Yes. I mean, I agree with the judge entirely that laws are inadequate to protect people from the full range of abuses that we're seeing in this case. This latest RICO claim was brought by a number of people who worked for him as assistants, but from many, many years ago, and they just have no recourse at this point legally. But there are tremendous inadequacies in the law. But the biggest thing, which we're seeing perhaps a sea change as a result of the Weinstein allegations, is people have always been afraid to come forward, fearing retaliation, fearing that they would be annihilated and not believed. And that's why these victims suffered in silence for decades, really. So we have a sea change, but one of the most powerful moments is that people are coming forward And we see people of the year, the person of the year is the Me Too movement. It's people who have chosen to break their silences, and in some cases with the Weinstein Company, to actively violate the NDAs to speak truth. It's a much faster form of justice than going through a court proceeding, signing up as a plaintiff in a case like this, which may get you nowhere and leave you open to really very intrusive discovery. This is people coming forward and speaking out publicly about the abuses they experienced.
Judge, at what point do you expect to see a motion to dismiss? After discovery or before?
Well, there'll be some limited discovery. There are two federal cases that are alleging RICO, and then there's actually a state case that is alleging a conspiracy against involving the Weinstein Company. You're likely to get a motion to dismiss immediately, certainly with respect to the RICO cases. There'll be a very, very substantial motion practice also with respect to the class action allegations. But, the federal courts have been not particularly good about employment discrimination sexual harassment cases. Some 70 to 90% of civil rights cases of varying degrees fail in federal court under even an ordinary employment framework. What would be interesting here is if judges will begin to look at ordinary sexual harassment, that is to say with employees who have a claim against their employer, will look at it differently now that you sort of expose this pattern of conduct. In other words, with respect to the powerful man that you're seeing being accused, the law has to change. There will be motions to dismiss. There will be motions with respect to summary judgment. With respect to the rest of the employment picture, it would be interesting to see if the fact that these allegations have surfaced will enable judges to look differently at ordinary sexual harassment in the workplace.
Judge, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much, retired federal judge Nancy Gertner and Deborah Katz of the law firm Katz, Marshall & Banks. Coming up on Bloomberg Law, the brash Martin Shkreli was convicted, but his more buttoned-down lawyer may fare better. We'll talk about the ongoing criminal trial of Evan Griebel, who's accused of helping Shkreli defraud investors. This is Bloomberg.